Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turteltaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Joining us today from Boston is Carrie Penman. Carrie is Chief Risk and Compliance Officer for Navex Global. And we're going to be talking about the Navex 2021 Incident Management Benchmarking Report. Carrie, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
Hey, Adam. Thanks for inviting me. I'm so happy to join you again.
Oh, my pleasure. And really looking forward to discussing the data and the report. Now, everyone's wondering one big question, which is, did call volume go up or down during the pandemic?
Well, and the big answer to that, Adam, is it went down. And for the first time in history of our annual benchmark, which, as you know, has been for quite some time. And so this year, the median number of reports actually declined, and it dropped from what has been 1.4 reports per 100 employees. And it's been that way since 2016, down to 1.3 in 2020. And that doesn't sound like a lot, but it's actually a pretty significant drop. So we looked at it from a month-to-month analysis, actually for the first time. And we'll have that in our report, which will show the extent to which this was really impacted by the pandemic and COVID-related events. Probably not a surprise to the audience, we received the fewest number of reports overall in April and in May of 2020. And that's when, you know, as you know, most of the organizations were shut down and stay-at-home orders were in place. But we did notice that even by the end of the year, report volumes had not yet returned to some of the pre-COVID levels. So actually, one interesting add-on note to this is that while we saw a drop in the report volume overall, the range of reports received by organizations, so the lowest to the highest, increased pretty substantially. And what it really reflected, I think, was the volatility and the variation within our customer base. I suspect it was very much industry related, who was open, who was working from home, who was remote. So really, that was probably some of the more interesting findings that we had on call volume.
Now, what about the companion measure of substantiation rates? Was there an effect on that as well?
Interestingly enough, there was not. So we found that the overall substantiation rate was pretty much remarkably stable. And believe it or not, and it has been for over the years, but 2020 was no exception. So this year's substantiation rate was 42%. That was within one percentage point of last year's number. And we've been in the low to mid 40s for a long time. And it's really only two percentage points below the all-time high, which was 44%. So really, it demonstrated remarkable year-over-year consistency. But there was one area, though, of substantiation that had some notable exception, and that was the environment, health, and safety substantiation rates. Those declined slightly, but when talking about the report volume, that's actually where we saw the highest increase in report volume was in the environment, health, and safety. Probably no surprise to anybody here, but we did see a lower substantiation rate there. So I would say, Adam, that this really was an area in terms of substantiation rates where compliance met the moment. Especially given that organizations had to move to almost full remote investigations, where, you know, organizations in the past were used to putting boots on the grounds and eyes on the witness. So it was interesting that with remote investigations, we did not see much of any real change in substantiation rates. And I think that that's really important. And you know, putting that together with another metric we saw, which was improved case closure time, I think the compliance teams really demonstrated the ability to successfully navigate some of the challenges.
It sounds like a terrific success story. And I think it also shows that, you know, people weren't taking advantage, if you will, during this time, making unfounded claims, that, you know, there was consistency across what they were doing. Now, there was also interesting data in the study on the decline in anonymity from 69% in 2009 to 58% in 2020. But the data did show some differences with 54% anonymity rate for business integrity, but 76% in the environmental health and safety area, which strikes me as strange because we hear how willing people are to speak up about safety issues. And, you know, people have often talked that they wish compliance was like safety, that people felt comfortable raising issues. What's going on here? It seems sort of counterintuitive.
Yeah, you know, that is a great question. And I've been thinking about it since we spoke earlier, because you're right. Everybody wanted their speak up programs to be like our safety programs. And that's how I think many of us have looked at it, as the ultimate speak up program. So, you know, you're correct that we did see 76% of the EH&S related reports be anonymous versus 54% in business integrity. But what was even more interesting to me was that the accounting, auditing, and financial reporting issues were even lower at 44%. But, you know, back to the question about safety programs, I wonder, Adam, if in fact what we're really seeing is that the issues may have just been more straightforward, maybe less personal, individual in nature, because I know, you know, that they're just anecdotally hearing from our contact center. We had a lot of reports about, you know, management in retail not enforcing customer masks, right? So you don't need to give your name on that. In fact, you don't probably want to be associated with that report. But, you know, there were a lot of environment health and safety reports about lack of PPE or lack of wearing a mask or requirements to wear masks. And so those did tend to be more anonymous. And we did actually note, and you previously asked me about substantiation rates, that that is an area where substantiation rates were a little bit lower. We did see a drop in substantiation of the EH&S cases. So we were wondering, in thinking about your question, if it's just really more a matter of it's not a personal issue, and it's easier to address, so why take the risk and give your name? Just get the issue on the table. But I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know. It's interesting. I mean, I think that certainly makes sense. You know, something as simple as they're not wearing masks is not something you need to get into names to, versus, you know, a more complex thing you're going on, you see going on around you. Now, let's take a look at retaliation rate. I was struck in the data that reporting there is really encouraging at just 0.9%, and just 23% of retaliation reports are being substantiated. On the surface, it seems great, but should we be celebrating that or worrying that either A, much is going unreported, or B, employees are unduly fearful after all these years?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I put that in the category of we should be worrying. In fact, I see that as a red flag for organizations, because we know that, you know, people are very fearful of retaliation. I suspect that, frankly, that one of the reasons for the decline in overall reporting is fear of retaliation, because when things are a little dicey and jobs are at risk, and we know many jobs were lost in 2020, that's just not a great time to stick your neck out. And so I think that's probably why we also saw a drop. It's really the first time we've gone under 1% of our reports of being those associated with retaliation. So I think it is a concern. And I do think it is also another likely result of COVID-19. And I think, you know, one other point that I should make here is that certainly reporting externally did not decrease. And in fact, last year, I was approached a number of times by several major media outlets checking in with us to see, hey, are we seeing the same increase in reports of accounting issues as the SEC is seeing? At one point, I think it was in May last year, the SEC reported that they had a 35% increase in reports over the prior year and same time frame. So we had reporters that were having no problem taking their issues externally. So I think it is something that we need to be aware of. Certainly retaliation is a top concern for regulatory agencies and for employees. And I do think that organizations that see a low reporting rate of issues of retaliation are really getting a false sense of security that they don't have a problem. When in fact, you know, I think there's been a number of areas of research published where I think employees are showing that they feel they're experiencing an increase in retaliation. So I think it's something that's really important. I've always said, Adam, I think this is the last great frontier for organizations and compliance teams to be dealing with, and that's the fear of retaliation.
Well, I think it's one that's never going to go away because, you know, the hard part is we're up against human nature and sort of the herding instincts and the rejection of people who go against, you know, the group. Let me ask you about one other interesting number thing I spotted. You track the number of days between when the incident was observed and when it was actually reported. And over time, that gap has risen from 21 to 28 days. What do you think is going on and how concerned should we be about that?
Yeah, that was an interesting finding that we had as well. And last year was the first year that we calculated that gap. And in some respects, I wasn't surprised to see somewhat of an increase because I think, you know, folks who are working from home may take a little bit longer to spot an issue, or you know, you're not having that water cooler conversation with somebody who, you know, you say, hey, did you see this happened or did you know that? And somebody says, well, maybe you ought to report it, right? So that kind of coalescing around the need to make a report, I think made people a little bit more hesitant to raise that issue. But I do think the widening of this gap is something we need to be aware of. The longer it takes to report an issue, you know, memories fade, it makes it a little bit harder to investigate that. And I'll point out that there was one category that stands out in particular where the gap was even more significant than just the overall 7-day increase. And that was the accounting, auditing, and financial reporting. That gap widened from 16 days to 36 days between when the incident occurred and when the employee reported it. So that is a very significant jump and demonstrates, I think, you know, a lot of volatility because despite everything that was going on, the one thing that was steady was the volume of accounting related reports overall that organizations received. So, you know, we know that employees were taking those issues externally. They're waiting longer to report them to us internally. And again, I think that's certainly a red flag that we need to be aware of.
Now, many fear that anonymous reports are less trustworthy. What does the data actually show in terms of substantiation rates of anonymous versus not anonymous reports?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, the data actually showed a little bit of an area of concern as well. We were frankly discouraged to see that this year's anonymous substantiation rate is actually the lowest it's been since 2012. And probably moreover, the gap between anonymous and named substantiation reports is higher than ever. So in this last year, 35% of the anonymous reports were substantiated versus 50% of the named. I think that still a third of the anonymous reports being substantiated, more than a third, is still very important. And these are very important calls and reports that we take. But I think it is an opportunity to remind employees to stay engaged in their anonymous reporting process with follow-ups.
Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting to see the numbers have changed, and it'll be interesting to see where they go after people return to the workplace. Well, Carrie, thank you so much for sharing this data and all these insights with us. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA. I hope we're able to expand your compliance perspective.